How many of you believe that prayer is powerful or effective or both? Prayer is powerful and effective, and that's what we're going to talk about this evening in this message. And I want to begin by looking at Ephesians, if you have your Bibles. I have it in the New Living Translation up on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your own translation, that's fine. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 to begin with. And I just want to read 15 through 18. Ephesians 1, 15 through 18, beginning in verse 15. Paul writes, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you." I want to stop right there. Paul is writing to this church, and he says, ever since I first heard of what? Your strong faith. Your strong faith. Now, is he writing to individual Christians or the whole church? Do you think there was possibly some individual Christians in this church that had weak faith or small faith? Huh? But together, they had strong faith. That's the importance of being together, of praying together. I can, you know, some of us, you know, we're going through things, and so our faith may be a little bit pushed down or weakened by certain things, but we have others that can come alongside, and all together we have strong faith when we come together and believe in God and believe in God's promises. So he says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, that's the key. Where is your faith? Faith can't just be in faith. It has to be in something. And in this case, the most powerful thing to have your faith in is in the Lord Jesus. That he can do all things. That there's nothing too difficult for him. So faith in the Lord Jesus and love for God's people everywhere. That's what marked this church. Their faith in Jesus and their love for God's people everywhere. Isn't that what we want to be known for, Pebble Creek? That we're strong in faith. When people think about Pebble Creek, they say that's that church. They are so strong in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have love for God's people everywhere. That's the type of church that I think all of us want to be a part of. That's the kind of reputation that we want to have. And he says in verse 16, "I have not stopped thanking God for you." And then verse 17, or the last part of 16, "I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God." What a prayer. Think about that prayer, that he's praying for God to give them spiritual wisdom. Do we need spiritual wisdom? This is Paul's prayer for this church, that God would give them spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow in their knowledge of God. That is, and now who inspired this to be written? This is Paul writing it, but who inspired this? The Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit's prayer for his churches. It's the Holy Spirit's prayer for Pebble Creek to have spiritual wisdom and insight so that we might grow in our knowledge of the Lord, of God. And then verse 18, "I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, his saints, who are his rich and glorious inheritance." We are God's inheritance. That is an amazing thought to think about that. And that his prayer for us is that this light, flooded with light. Light, what kind of light? His light, right? God's light, to flood us so that we can understand the hope, the confident hope that he has given to us. Do you believe he's called you? Right? We've all been called. If you are a believer, you have been called. You have been called to follow him, his holy people. We are the saints. Right? And we're rich, and who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Hallelujah. You know, and you see in that, Paul, what does he say? He prays for them constantly. He prays for the churches that he founded. He prays for the believers that he ministered to, that he's discipling. He's praying for them all the time. And then look at Ephesians 3. This is another incredible passage. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Paul writes, "When I think of all this, all the stuff that he had just written about, he says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources." Think about God's resources. They're glorious and they're unlimited. There's no limit to what God has. Whatever it is you need, he has more than what you need. They're unlimited. They're glorious. And he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. That is the most glorious gift, that empowerment that comes through the Holy Spirit of God. And then, again, this is for every believer, every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. This is God's prayer, really, through the Apostle Paul, for every believer, for every church. And then verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. As we trust in Jesus, he makes his home in our hearts. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Will keep you strong. So what is the key to keeping strong? Trusting in Jesus. Staying connected to the vine. Not allowing this world, anything in the world, any thoughts that come into our head, any circumstance of life to come and put a barrier between us and Jesus. We stay united with him, we stay focused on him, and our roots will grow down into God's love, right? Who pours the love of God into our hearts? The Bible says the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts, and that will keep us strong. Right? Not by might, not by power, not by my might or power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Right? That's where our strength. What is this? I don't know, all these verses pop into my head. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That it's just, all these scriptures are amazing. Let's look at the next verse here. This is verse 18. And may you have, so he's continuing to pray. This is a powerful prayer. And this is something we can claim, because this is not just written only to the Ephesian believers. This is for all of us today. It says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. Every believer should understand this. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. We talked about what it meant to love God this morning. But we can only love him because he first loved us. And then in verse 19, Paul prays that he says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. A lot of our prayers have been for God's power to be at work in this church and among the people that call this church home. But according to this, it says, may you experience the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Right? What does Paul write? Right? In 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 is about the gifts. So chapter 12 is about the gifts. Chapter 14 is about how those gifts should function within the church. But right in the middle is the love chapter, chapter 13. And he talks about, hey, you could have all these gifts, and that'd be great, but without love, they're nothing. They're nothing. And so he's saying here, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. But we could continue to grow in it and understand more and more as we get into his word, as we spend time with him. And then it says, then you will be made complete. When will we be made complete? When we experience more and more the love of Christ in our lives. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Hallelujah. That is amazing. That is amazing. Now, we learned two things just from these two passages that we just read. You learn a lot of things, but two things primarily that you learn. First, what do you think Paul thought about prayer? What's the title of this message? Powerful and effective. So the first thing you get is that Paul must really think that prayer is powerful. That when you're praying in the name of Christ, that when you're praying according to the will of God, there must be power when you're praying. When he's praying for these churches, when he's praying for these Christians, he believes there must be powerful, that prayer is powerful. Why would he waste his time praying if he didn't think God would respond to those prayers? Why waste your time unless you really think God is going to listen and respond to those prayers? Right? Now, Paul loved, do you think he loved these people? Right? These people, these Christians, these churches? And he loved them so much that it says, even what we just read, he would get down on his knees and he would pray for them because he knew that there are certain things that only God could answer in prayer. There are certain things that only God has an answer, that only God can reveal, that only God can empower. So what was the result of Paul's love for these churches, or for this church? The result was prayer, that he went to God in prayer for these people. But why did he, what was the reason he prayed? He believed it was powerful, but the reason he prayed is because he also knew that prayer is effective. To get the work of God done on the earth, it takes prayer. It takes praying. Now, that is, you cannot read the Bible. If you just read it in simplicity and you just read it for what it is, you can't get past the fact that it is very clear that God accomplishes great things in response to prayer. You read about all the prayers of the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, that God did things in response to the prayers of his people. He responded. Martin Luther, he said this. He said that God does almost nothing except an answer to prayer. Now, I'll just say that again. Think about this. This is Martin Luther, a little more knowledgeable, better theologian than me, but he says that God does almost nothing except an answer to prayer. What does the New Testament say? You have not because you ask not. Right? There's all types of these verses you can pull up, but God does almost nothing except an answer to prayer. So what happens if we neglect praying for one another or praying for our government or praying for our state or praying for our politicians even or praying for this church, praying for our family, praying for our marriages? We are missing out. We're missing out. I think sometimes we think, well, God will, you know, he'll just bless us anyway. And I believe in a certain extent that might be true, but how many blessings are we missing out on because we're not praying? Because we're not going to him and asking for what we need. Because if we neglect praying for one another, I believe we forfeit a lot of blessings that God has waiting for us. Do you believe God has a lot of blessings that he wants to rain down on you and your family, this church, even on this nation? But he's waiting for his people to be in unity and asking for those things. Now, here's the second truth. The first truth is that Paul believed that prayer had to be powerful and effective. And the second truth is that Paul knew that through prayer that God would strengthen his people, God's people, with the power of the Holy Spirit. That was his prayer for these people, for these Christians. Now, I know, and I even fall into this sometimes, I'm mostly, as a pastor, sometimes I get really mostly concerned about preaching sermons, right? What am I going to preach this Sunday? What am I going to preach or teach about on Wednesday or Sunday night? What am I going to say, okay? And that's not completely wrong when I need to think about that, you know, but I think Paul would have a slightly different perspective, and he wouldn't be so concerned about what he was going to teach. You know, because a lot of pastors might be asking Paul, you know, why don't you just teach them about God's power? No, Paul wanted them to experience God's power, and that's why he prayed for them. He prayed for them. He prayed for them. And that's the whole point. When you think about Christianity, it's not primarily a teaching religion, okay? Teaching is involved, right? I mean, I'm trying to teach in this message. So there is teaching that's involved. But Christianity, it isn't like Mormonism. It's not like Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not like Islam, right? Those are all teaching religions. What do I mean by that? I mean that in those religions, or whether you're talking about Buddhism or anything else, those are teaching religions. That means that the leaders in those religions, they instruct their followers until they reach a certain level of knowledge. And once they reach that certain level of knowledge, then their members can be inducted into this another inner circle or go higher in the organization, right? Once they learn more of this knowledge, right? You can see that in Mormonism. You can see that in even in like the Masonic Lodge and all their different levels and things that they have, right? The more knowledge you gain, the higher up or the more, you know, in this circle that you become. But Christianity is not like that. Christianity is a supernatural religion. It's not all about teaching. It's about supernatural things. Jesus is God in the flesh. That is supernatural. You can teach it, but that's a supernatural fact, right? He was born of a virgin. That is supernatural. He bore the sins of the world on himself as he died. That is supernatural. He rose from the dead. That is supernatural. And he promises the gift of eternal life to those who receive him. Again, that's supernatural. I can teach it, but in order for you to experience, there's a supernatural experience that has to happen. Right, when you got born again, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's a supernatural thing that happens. That doesn't happen in other religions. Other religions, it's all about learning more and more and more. Christianity is about experiencing supernatural things. What is promised to us? Heaven, heavenly rewards. Those are supernatural rewards are promised to us. The fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us, is that not supernatural? That is amazing. It should blow us away when we think about that. Those are all supernatural facts that Christianity teaches, but also that we can experience. Now, they're also the foundation of Christianity. But why is it that it's so hard to get people to come to a prayer meeting then? Why is it so hard if you have a prayer meeting at your home, you might only have 5 people show up, but if you just have a regular fellowship, you might have 50 people show up? Why is it so hard to get people to come to a prayer? You know, this week we have early morning prayer at 7 o'clock. Now, I know a lot of people are working. They're already at work. They're getting ready to go to work. But there's probably a lot of people that could be there, but they're not there. And I'm not here to judge anyone. But why is it so hard to get people to come? Is it because it's early? It used to be at 6. So that was early. Some people meet at 5 in the morning. You know, 7 o'clock is not too bad when I think about that. But also individual prayer. Why is it so hard to set aside half an hour a day just to pray? Just to go. Why is it so hard? I mean, we can spend that time. Well, I can spend, you know, 4 hours watching a Chiefs game on Sunday. But I can't find half an hour to pray, to just pray. To just pray, to just spend time in God's presence. You know, because if I really, really, truly believed that when I prayed for healing of people, and I really believe that I'd spend a lot of time in prayer for people, a lot more time. If I really believed in financial blessings would come, you know, through prayer, or if I believed that God would really believe God would supernaturally bless the families of this church, if I really believed that God was powerful, that prayer was powerful and effective, I think I'd be spending a lot more time in prayer. A lot more time in prayer. But we get distracted, and I get distracted, and all kinds of things, and, you know, happen. But if we lose that belief that God answers supernaturally, then prayer is going to just die. It's not going to be a priority. Again, Ephesians 3:16, I read this earlier, but Paul writes, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's his prayer. Now, he didn't just pray that, just to pray that, just to say, write something. He really believed that God would answer his prayer and that they would be empowered through the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I pray that over my kids. I pray that when I put them to bed, that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that they would be sensitive to the voice of God, that they would listen to him and they would be guided by him. I pray that. I know they have free will, but also believe if they keep hearing those prayers, it takes root in their spirits. And then if they see their mom and dad living out that same type of prayer, we have to be consistent. That's important. Amen. Now, too much of the church today has kind of gotten away, and they actually are almost, it seems like, anti-supernatural. They don't really want that because, you know, in the seeker type of teaching that's out there today, you don't want to do anything that would make unbelievers uncomfortable when they come to church, right? So you don't want any messages in tongues, right, or anything they might think is weird, and they might not want to come back. Let me just say to that, Angie grew up in a charismatic church, so they got some doctrines that are wrong, you know, I'm just kidding. She grew up in a charismatic church, and you can go online. It's Living Word Christian Center. It's in Brooklyn Park up in Minnesota. And there are videos when this church had Kenneth Hagin come once, senior, come and minister. And their pastor, I mean, you just got to watch it. When he received prayer from, when he just got, I mean, it was a crazy atmosphere. And you're seeing this. That church runs at that, I don't know, at the peak, probably 8,000 people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not going to drive people away. It draws people. The power, we can't compete with Hollywood, with the entertainment, if we try to match them, if we try to, you know, match everything with lights and sound and everything. Not that we shouldn't have the best quality of those things that we can have, but nothing matches the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need in our services, the power of the Holy Spirit at work. I think when you read the New Testament, God's original plan for his church is that it would be a supernatural church. You read the book of Acts, right? It's the book of Acts, but it's really the acts of the Holy Spirit through his church, right? The things that they did, the things that they accomplished, the places that they went. And I think that we should, as leaders, as pastors in this church, to lead this congregation into fellowship with God. To lead them into fellowship with God himself so that they experience more of God. Not just, you know, have neat, innovative props on the stage or illustrations, which aren't bad. But if we're neglecting the Holy Spirit and the power and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow freely in our services, we're missing out on something, right? So it's about experiencing Jesus in a fresh way. It's not just about coming to church and hearing a great sermon. Now, I know I'm a great preacher. Not really. But if it's all about just hearing a great sermon and it's not really about experiencing the Holy Spirit, we're missing something when we come to church. It shouldn't just, oh, that was a great sermon. No, there should be something that you feel the Holy Spirit, something. And it's not just about coming to hear. It's a what. Church, you know, you read the, again, it's not just, it's, we're all ministers. It's not just the ones that stand on this platform. The Holy Spirit can prompt you to go to somebody and through the power or the gift of healing, pray for someone and they're healed. It's not just my prayers. There's nothing special, inherently special about a pastor praying for you. You have the same Holy Spirit living in you that I have living in me. And maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to minister to somebody here or do something, to give a word of knowledge to somebody or a word of wisdom, right? It's about body ministry, not just the people up here. Now, we have to understand that what we need every single day is supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every single day. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, 4 and 5. Paul writes, as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. This is something that God did not choose to reveal in ages past, but at that particular time, now he chose to reveal it to his apostles and prophets. So, the truths of our faith, you cannot understand them with the natural mind. Someone that's not born again cannot understand the truths of the Word of God. They can read it, they can enjoy reading it, they can get some facts out of it, but they don't really understand really what God's trying to communicate in this Word, because it's a supernatural book that takes a supernatural God to empower us to understand it in its fullness. So, there's a lot of brilliant scholars and professors and Christian seminaries and colleges, I believe, but they don't have a relationship with God. They know a lot about theology. They know a lot about the Bible, but they don't have a relationship with God. That's what is important. So if we really want to fully experience Jesus, it has to come through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's how we experience more of him. And it's because of that fact that the Apostle Paul prayed that these churches that he established would be strengthened by more than just his teaching. He prayed that they would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit himself. Teaching is very crucial, right? To stand on the Word of God, that's very crucial, but that you need the power of the Holy Spirit as well. We need that. And Paul, when he wrote, he had been in Ephesus for 3 years. 3 years. Now think about this. Who would you, other than Jesus, if you could be taught by anybody, who would you want to be taught by when it comes to Christianity? Other than Jesus, I think Paul would be high up on most people's list if they could be taught by somebody. But look at this. You know, Paul had been there 3 years. He taught them everything that he could. He gave them the whole counsel of God. Everything that God had revealed to him, he was revealing to this church. But once he moved on from there to plant other churches elsewhere, he didn't stop thinking about them and he didn't stop praying for them. If it was all about teaching them only, he had already taught. He was there for 3 years. I'm sure they got a pretty good education. But he understood that it took the power of prayer to continue to pray for these churches. That was what's going to empower them to do exactly what God's called them to do. And I want to read 1 Thessalonians as we kind of wrap up tonight. Because the Ephesians, obviously, they weren't the only church that Paul prayed for, right? He did this for other believers too, other churches. And this is what he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 9 through 13. He writes, how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. Next week, I told you I'm going to talk about what it means to love other people. This is a recurring theme. When you read almost every letter, it's about loving God more, it's about loving other people, and it's about through that loving God and loving other people, making disciples, that the world was changed in the first century and the second century. And the third century, and the 21st century. That's how it's going to be changed. Then he goes on to say, in verse 13, may he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father, when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Those are powerful prayers. And I would recommend making that a personal prayer in our own lives, all those passages, all those prayers, because they're powerful. Now, what's really incredible is that Paul believed God would grant them supernatural power through his prayer. That's incredible. He really believed this. He believed this stuff. He believed it. And because he believed it, he put it into practice. And he believed that it could empower other people like it did him. Now think about how little we actually pray these kinds of prayers to God. How little we actually pray these prayers, these kinds of prayers, and expect God to do it. To actually expect, anticipate, okay, I prayed it, God's going to do it now. That's taking it to a whole nother level. Think of people that we love, or that you love, and that you worry about, and how much do you really pray for them? How much do we really pray for those people that we care about, that we love, that we know are going through things? How much time every day do we actually set aside and think about them and pray for them? If we really believe that God would answer those prayers, I'm telling you, our prayer life would be revolutionized. Now, think about other people that we complain about or that we criticize, and how rarely we take the time to lift them up to God. We all have people that we probably could heavily criticize, and we probably do. What about if we spent the same amount of time actually praying for them that we do criticizing them? People that we have problems with. Because we love other people. And if we love them, we'll pray for them. And we'll pray for God's mercy. We'll pray for them to be changed by the power of God. Amen. So I don't want to leave that out. We're going to go into a time of prayer right now, because that's what I want to pray for. People. Now, Debbie shared with me tonight that they got a phone call that Ralph's mother is in the ICU in Illinois. And so Ralph left tonight, and he's driving over to see his mom, to be with his mom. So I'd like to begin tonight by praying for that. So I'm going to ask Debbie, if you don't mind, to come into the middle here, or you can come up here. But I'd like some ladies or whoever to gather around Debbie as she stands in for Ralph's mom and for the family. Because I know, you know, this is weighing on Ralph, and he's got a long drive. What is it, 4 hours? Imagine driving 4 hours with that thought, that concern in your mind. So, Father, we lift up Ralph's mother to you tonight, Lord. We pray, God, as she is in this ICU, that you would touch her, Lord, sustain her, heal her, Lord, whatever it is that she's going through right now, God. And I just pray for Ralph. Lord, I know he's got this on his mind, and I just pray, God, you would allow him to continue to focus, Lord, on this long drive, that you would give him grace, that you would allow him to get there as quickly as possible, but in a safe manner. And I just pray, God, and we lift him up, we lift up that whole family, and we pray for your supernatural peace, Lord, supernatural peace, and just to be comforted. We pray for her comfort and the comfort of the family, Lord. Lord, she is in your hands. And we trust, Lord, you always do what's right. You always do what's right. I pray for grace for Ralph right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Does anyone else have a prayer need that they would like to share that we can pray for? Okay, if I'm going to ask Sean to come up and just play some music. But I just want to take about 10 minutes. 10 minutes. What can God do in 10 minutes? I don't know how long it took. I mean, it took him 6 days to create the universe, so you could probably do a lot in 10 minutes. So God can do more, and I heard Pastor Fite say this repeatedly. You want to go up there too? God can do more, I don't know what it was specifically, more in a minute than in 10,000 sermons. Not that we don't need sermons and we don't need biblical teaching, because we do, but we need God's power and his mercy. We need to experience him More than just learning about him, we need to experience who he is. Like any relationship. Any relationship. We need to know him. So I just encourage you to come up to the front. You can stay where you are. You can pray where you are, but pray. That's my encouragement to you. Pray. And if you have a need, you can just come up to me, come up to Pastor Fite. Just express what your need is, and we'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Worship the Lord. We worship the Lord, be glorified. Yes, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Oh, be glorified in the heavens. Glorified in the earth, being glorified in this temple. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. Oh, we worship you, worship the Lord in the heavens. We worship the Lord in the Oh, Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, be thou is what I need.
Would you stand?
Righteousness.
Let's worship together this last song.
Righteousness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind. Take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord, to yours, O Lord. Brokenness, brokenness is what you long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me. Take my heart. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, O Lord, to yours, to yours, O Lord, O Lord.
That song, if you could pull up that last verse there, Phil, again, that we were just singing. But that's a prayer. Now, we put it to music, but it's a prayer. I think it's the one we just sang about our mind, about our heart, right? That's a prayer. And if you're singing that and you mean it, that is a prayer to God, and I believe He's going to answer that prayer, right? Our prayer, take my heart, Lord, and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will and conform it to yours. Right? To His. That is a prayer. Lord, tonight that is our prayer. That's what we leave this building with. Lord, take everything we are, our hearts, our minds, our wills, Lord, and conform it to yours. Lord, we want to be people that represent you well. Everywhere we go, continue, Lord, to empower us through your Holy Spirit to accomplish the things that you've told us to do, that you're leading us to do, things that only we can do. There are certain people that only we have influence over. Help us, Lord, to influence them for Christ. And I pray, Lord, that this week you would give us opportunity, Lord, to tell people about the love of Jesus, to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to invite them into a relationship with the Lord, with the Savior, Lord. And if they don't have a church, I pray, God, guide us into inviting people to come and to experience a church where they can be fed the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit is moving and empowering people and changing lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week. In Christ Jesus.